I sure have had a great time, and I appreciate you letting me come back, and I've enjoyed it ever so much. And I could have stretched some of those sermons into 5 or 6. I understand that. Didn't try to do it. Didn't feel led to do that.
Right.
This sermon for tonight, when God gave it to me, I felt then it was a sermon for Calvary Baptist Church in Bonifay, Florida.
Amen.
And so I had to get it in before I left. Call it divine appointments, or God has time to meet with you. Mm. You know, we can't say really without a whole lot of criticism that certain people don't have time to meet with you. They do have a lot of folks to meet with and a lot to do. And they can't meet with but 1 or 2 or several at a time. Mm-hmm. God is amazing. He can meet with everybody at one time.
Amen. Right, yes.
So He has time to meet with you. I mean, He loves you enough to do it. And there are some divine appointments. I hesitated to read this text because I'm not going to say anything much about it. But it seemed like an appropriate text, if you're going to preach from all over the Bible, to read something that's kind of general. See what I mean?
Right.
So there's some divine appointments. And so I'm going to read from the book that Margaret taught from Sunday morning, and did it with elegance and a lot of intellect. Very, very strong lesson. But she'd already gotten past this passage. And she's given me her notes. And I told her I want something on everything, not just this. This has been read a lot of times. Back when we had public school Bible reading, they read this pretty often. Ecclesiastes 3. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
Yes.
In everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born. Bear witness to that. And a time to die. Bear witness to that. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. Glad of that. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. Well, my time is gone for that. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. Time of war, a time, and a time of peace. Now we'll be looking as we go along. I'm going to drop this down just a little bit, but I feel it's about to burn my lips. So I'll ease it back a little bit. If you can't hear me, roll in the aisle. That'll get my thing.
Yeah.
Some things do not. So you have to really draw me a picture. My wife has trouble trying to tell me things when it's just too late. We'll be looking at a Psalm 139, and would like to read all of those first 18 verses, but we won't tonight do that. But then we'll be looking at John 3:3-7, 2 Corinthians 6:2, and Revelation 22:17. On the lesson, God has time to meet with you, or divine appointments.
Right.
We have appointments to make through life. Some of them we don't want to make. Somebody asked a newly retired couple, what do you do now that you are retired? The answer they gave was, we make and keep doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
There's an eye doctor, the ear doctor, the nose doctor, the tooth doctor, the throat doctor. And see, we just didn't start it. And if you have been on Medicare for five years, you get more sophisticated names for those doctors. You learn to say gastroenterologist. Now, I worked on that. I practiced to say that several times to get that out, and I think I did pretty well. You see, that is a word that if you put that in plain English, like nose doctor, it would almost be too ugly to say in public. Wouldn't sound good in plain English. So we have some appointments we have to need to make in order to keep them. You may not want to have an appointment with the Pope or the President, but if you had one, you'd tell us about it.
Yeah.
Did I tell you about my appointment with the Pope? The reason I didn't tell you about it is because I didn't have one. Same reason for that I didn't tell you about my appointment with the President. These are very important people, no doubt. But they are no more of worth than you are.
Uh-huh. I see it.
Now, one of the reasons that's true is because you have divine appointments with God.
Right.
You don't have to have an appointment with a so-called important person, like the governor of Florida or the senator from South Carolina, to be important. Because you have daily appointments with the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
The
Amen.
One who has the power to cancel sin in your life. You're already important to Him. There's always an opportunity to meet with God. And ye shall seek me and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. And Amos said, seek ye the Lord and ye shall live. But there are some very personal appointments that are very special that God has already made for you to meet with Him. Significant events for time and eternity. These divine events have to do with your meaning and purpose for life, death, and eternity. They have to do to verify your worth and God's love for you. You've already made, everybody in here has made one of these appointments that we want to look at tonight. There's one more that you will absolutely, surely have to make with God. And there are two others that you can choose to make with God. I want you to join with me as we look at these four divine appointments. From the Holy Word of God, here is a divine appointment that you've already had. You had a divine appointment when you were conceived. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says it's the time to be born.
Right.
But Psalm 139 talks about what was going on between you and God before you were born.
Amen.
While you were in the mother's womb.
Exactly.
The Bible says right here, beginning in verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins. That's the word they use like we use for the heart, although in that case it's been another organ. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. We were not complete, grown adults, but God did not start with you when you got out of the womb. Goodness, absolutely, positively not. Here is what Jeremiah was told by the Lord. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb. I formed you in the womb.
Yes.
Before then I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations.
Yes.
That's somebody really important.
Yes.
Already, before that person is conscious of breathing air anywhere except in the mama's womb, that divine appointment came, as we said, before you were, quote, born. For many years, I don't know if this is a comfortable subject for me to talk with you about. We won't be on it all night, I don't guess. For many, many years, the argument between Christians was never about birth control. Now, that's what we call it. I want to say how dumb did the devil make us to brand it birth control. When Christians were debating it years and years and years before the 70s, they called it birth control that they were arguing about. But they were talking about, at that time, conception control.
Right.
The argument between Catholics and most of the other Christians had to do with whether some circumstances allowed conception control. Most all Christians over the years felt the destruction of the child. I put that word in quotation marks. Child.
Right.
As Jesus was called in the sacred scriptures in his mother's womb.
Yes. Right.
Jesus called the child Jesus.
Amen.
When he was in his mother's womb, after conception was not allowed in those early years by almost any Christians except to save the mother's life. God was there to touch the preborn soul with his personal imprint, his own image, as Genesis tells us.
Right.
Many received that divine imprint but missed the life that God would give that person on earth. Thankfully, all of these are with him now.
Yes.
If someone you love was cut short by natural miscarriage or unnatural, seek peace with God.
Amen.
That sense of peace which is described in Philippians 4 and 7 as the peace of God which passes all understanding.
Right.
Now, if you didn't get my heart, my drift, my sense of what I was saying there, there is peace with God no matter how you may have lost your little children.
Right.
Please understand that. His blood can cleanse us, as your preacher just quoted from the scripture, from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Right. Well, that divine appointment that came to you before you were born, at conception, the minute there was the uniting of the sperm and the ovum, you became a person in the eyes of God, because right then he began to shape you.
Amen.
That divine appointment was for a God-given purpose. I always feel good when I remember that God formed me in my mother's womb.
Amen.
Now, I have felt very unworthy of that, and I felt very bad about what I've continued to do with what God began to form in me, but I've been able to know for sure that he cared about me.
Amen.
And I was somebody to him from even before I was thought about in the hearts and minds of my mama.
Amen.
And my daddy. Here are some reasons to feel good. One, God thought well of you. He personally made you and shaped you with his own hands. You see, before my mother touched me with her hands, my father in heaven had touched me with his.
Amen.
You might have thought that the first hands that got a hold of you were the gentle, sweet hands of a woman, but they were the hands of the heavenly Father. Because he can stretch himself to be any kind of person he wants to be in his holiness.
Yes.
You also have to be important to God for him to tend to your being as a personal touch and then never let you out of his sight. If you start back in the early verses of Psalm 139, God is telling you in his word that you can't go anywhere where he is not.
Amen. Right.
You don't just have to bump into him downtown when you're at the cafe or run into him down on the beach.
Yeah.
You can't go anywhere that God is not. You've got to be important to him for him to deal with you like that. Another reason, since God was with you in the body of your mother, he is no doubt about with you now trying to make something out of you.
Right.
He hasn't given up on you.
Amen.
He started to begin with, and he has you in mind to end with.
Amen.
He's always trying to make something good out of you. Fourth thing, since he was with you even before you were born, he's got big plans for your life.
Right.
Amen.
You may say, you've got to be in Washington for God. No, you do not.
Right.
One, minimize the creative work of God in your life.
Right.
You just can't play yourself down forever.
Right, brother.
No matter where you live, no matter what your circumstances, God's got a hand in your life You are a very valid human being to him. Number five, since God was present with your parents at conception, I believe that means you should have high regards for your mother and daddy.
Yes,
have y'all heard me say something about that every night?
Yes,
I've tried not to say the same thing every night. I don't know much about the DNA, and I don't even read much about it. But I have been told, and I'm quite sure that this is true, just as sure as it is that every snowflake is different, they tell me, that there ain't but no one person got your exact and full and complete DNA. And yet, they can identify who your mother and daddy is if they can get their DNA by yours.
Yeah.
That an amazing thing? And they're the only two people that God could use to give you your particular and exact DNA.
Amen.
So you gotta say, Mom and Daddy worth something to me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even be without them. Just as God's imprint is on you, so is the imprint inescapable of your mother and daddy. I know that's hard preaching for some of you, but I'm trying to help you. You gotta get through the problems that you had with your parents.
Yeah.
I guarantee yours weren't perfect, because since Adam and Eve made their first mistake, there have been no perfect humans except the one that was divine who showed up to save us from our sins.
Yes.
But if you had at least the kind of parents I did, they told you about God and the Bible,
right,
and maybe even that there was some good in the church because Jesus is the one who founded it,
yes, right,
and called it his body.
Amen.
And called it his building.
Amen.
And called it his bride. All in the scriptures. He has an everlasting purpose for you. That gives us one great start in life, whatever the circumstances of your conception. It is a major moment when God meets a living being and plants in that soul a holy and everlasting purpose.
Yes.
Whatever the circumstances of your conception, whatever the circumstances of your surroundings with grandparents and so forth and uncles and aunts, you might have had a funny uncle. I even had a funny granddaddy or a funny daddy or something like that. Whatever the circumstances of your conception, God picked you up right then.
Right. Amen.
Started molding you for himself. You were as important as anybody else on the face of this
Amen.
Earth. Look at Genesis 1:26 and 27. Passage I love to quote. It
right.
helps me. Or as my mama once in a while would say, it hopes me.
Oh, yes.
It hopes me, gives me hope in my heart because it was in God's image that you and I were made. You already had one divine appointment. You weren't very conscious of it at that time, but God has led me tonight to tell you about it, just how good it is. Here's the second divine appointment you've had. You had a divine appointment to be born again. John 3, verily, verily, Jesus speaking, man, he meant this big time when he said, Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't know how he said it. When you put words in, I'm not putting words in Jesus' mouth, I'm putting inflections in his mouth. But when he said, verily, verily, that wasn't just two little rhythmic words he said.
Right.
It was, amen, amen, truly, truly, yes, yes.
Yes. Right.
Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then he would say in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Now, one of the most educated and one of the most powerful men among the Jews, some people think Nicodemus, was the leading intellectual teacher, certainly aside from Jesus, living at that time. I can't prove or disprove that, but he was a part of the Sanhedrin, a member group of 70 people who were very, very important in Israel. And he didn't understand what that meant. Didn't have a clue.
Right.
How can I be born again when I'm old?
Yeah.
Hey, this is the kind of questions a man would ask. I wonder if it had been Ms. Nicodemus if she would have asked those questions. I'm glad it wasn't her, because all of us men in the world would probably need some help with that.
That's true.
So he asked Jesus the question, and Jesus explained it to him. But in the between, I won't go into all of that, because that's a wonderful sermon. The wind blows where it listeth, but now here's the sound of it. That's not tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So was everybody that's born of the Spirit. He said, you got to be born of water and the Spirit.
Yes.
Got to have two births.
Right.
Now, to be sure that we've got the nitty-gritty of it, Jesus gave us some of the most marvelous and beautiful and maybe the most often quoted words in the whole Bible so that people simple like males, including all of us preachers, you say, why in the world are all the preachers men if they're dumber than women? That's why we are. Now, you're going to say, that's bad preaching to say that. No. I think if you're somebody that has to dig and struggle and reach out to get it like men have to when it's abstract stuff, that means you women would be preaching over our heads all the time.
That's great.
Because you get it and you'd be just laying it out there and thinking we'd get it. You see, that's why it takes me and Brother Ike so long to preach a sermon.
Yeah. Right.
We know there's some knuckleheads out there. Pardon me for saying that. I mean, we know how we are, how hard it is for us to get it.
Yeah.
Well, this is a big issue with us. We get into concrete stuff like being born, having a physical baby, being born in a physical mama and all of that. But abstractions are hard for us. And so Nicodemus, the wise Nicodemus who was teaching everybody else, had to ask a very fundamental question. How can a man be born again? And Jesus would explain through the word as we go on that we needed spiritual life.
Right.
We had the potential for being the children of God.
Yes.
Not just the children of Joseph and Lucille, but the children of God Almighty.
Amen.
But we got to be born another time because we're sinners.
Right.
By that we were spiritually lifeless.
Right.
And being spiritually lifeless, we had to have the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus had to come inside of us.
Yeah. Right.
And he would explain that Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The people looked at the serpent and they were healed. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.
Yeah. Right.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have. That's tonight.
Yes.
And it's everlasting life.
Right.
You get it tonight, you've got everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world,
right,
but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not believed in the only begotten Son of God.
Yes.
In the name of the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus goes on to pick up and explain to us part of the reason why we don't accept him anyway. And this is so sad he has to say that. Men love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil.
Yeah.
A lot of people are giving preachers and deacons and other Christians excuses when Jesus just nailed it down for a lot of them.
Yeah.
Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
Right.
Apparently, they want to stick with them. What a tragedy to be dragged down to hell by the weight of our sins.
Yes.
Mm. When God so loved the world.
Yes.
If God loved you, when he brings you to Jesus, he's going to do something good for you. He's not going to destroy your life.
Yes. Right.
It is his desire and his plan for you to be born again, to be given this wonderful new life.
Amen.
Did you keep that appointment, that divine appointment? When did it happen? The divine appointment for you to be born again came when you reached that moment in your life when you're able to receive Jesus as your Savior. I couldn't receive him as my Savior when I was an infant in the womb. And so that's why we can say with David, we can go to them, they can't come to us. They're going to go to heaven anyway. And all these little ones who are not yet able to perceive of it, we Baptists do not believe in making them, quote, Baptist, end quote, because they were born to Baptists.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing them in and putting water on them. No. We have to win them one by one. We don't get into gimmicks.
Right.
Y'all understand that?
Yes, sir.
We don't make them Christians and church members when they're born. They have to be born when? Again.
Yeah.
And to be born again, you have to have a little more understanding than Nicodemus had to start with.
That's true.
And how did Jesus tell us? Put your faith in me. Now you will discover that when you turn to Jesus, you've got to turn away from something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what? Sin.
Uh-huh.
Turn away. Reject sin. Get out of that hole That's what's got you in this mess.
Right.
And turn to Jesus in simple faith, believing in Him, trusting Him
right.
in your heart to be
right.
your Savior.
Amen.
That's how you're born again. It's not too complicated to understand how to be saved. It's complicated, probably, to think you ever got a full grasp on spiritual birth. I don't even have a grasp on conception and how that works and the chromosomes and how all this takes place in the woman. I don't have a grasp on that, and I don't particularly care that I don't have. If I did, I'd be up here talking about stuff that didn't matter in the church house.
Right.
I may do some of that anyway, because I love to preach. I hope I don't run out of good stuff and just tell you stuff I don't have any business talking about. So you may not understand about the spiritual birth, but you know how to get it.
Right. Amen.
He made that simple for us.
Amen.
He didn't complicate that
yes.
at all. Now, you can say, well, what about this? George H.W. Bush was asked if he were a born-again Christian, one of those loaded questions. Because if you say, yes, I'm a born-again Christian, then the folks that are liberals would write him off as a nut.
Yeah.
Isn't that terrible? I mean to tell you, I can imagine what they'll do. I think he gave a very disarming answer. He said, if you mean by that, he's asking, what do you mean by that? Because they're going to brand him as a quote, fundamentalist radical fanatic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And that's something bad to them.
Yeah, right.
If he said yes, a simple yes. So he said, if you mean by that, have I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, then yes, I am.
Amen.
If you put your faith in Christ, turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Is anything bad about turning your life over to Jesus?
No.
It's very fundamental, by the way, that you do that.
Yeah. Amen.
But there's nothing bad about turning your life over to Jesus. Absolutely not. And that's how you get, quote, born again.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
God set the appointment for you to be saved the very instant you became accountable. How long have you had Him waiting? You can have this new birth as long as you are alive and at yourself. But now is God's time. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day
yes.
of salvation.
Amen.
And if you say, well, I'm going to delay, there's some really bad things that can happen to you if you delay. One, you will lose precious service time with God. I want to live while I'm alive. And if I'm not living with God according to His purpose, my life is not only a waste, it's detrimental to the rest of the world and to me. You will also dishonor the living God if you don't do it now. He says, do it now.
Right.
Come now and let us reason together,
yes.
says the Lord. Though
right.
your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow.
Yes.
You can't know, by the way, if you will ever have another minute to be saved.
That's right.
Sometimes when I'm running, I have this thought. Yeah, I've had it. I didn't have to get this old and have this thought. Can I make it? Is this the day I can make it? I finally found the best track in Florida that I know of over here right over in Bonneville. It's not the one I attended to. It's the one I didn't find. That's the one I didn't find until I was already nearly a mile into the run. But I'm telling you what, if you're going up that rise over on the dirt part, and the wind blowing about 15 miles an hour in your face, and you start saying, how old am I? Let me see. Can I make this one more time? And I will say, well, I believe I can. And I suddenly say, Lord, only if you let me.
Yeah.
Lord, if you'll help me.
Yeah.
I'll try to put one more foot in front of me one more time, and then another one step at a time.
Yeah.
There's a song written about that.
Yeah, right.
Not just all day at the time, one step. At the time, that's all. We don't have one left unless God gives it to
Amen.
Us. But sometimes I ask Him about that. And if you're still breathing, God can save you. But the time to be saved, and you don't know you're going to be breathing.
I see it.
There's surely somebody can say that. Surely you can admit humbly that you cannot decide. And if you say, well, I'm going to live another time. Listen, one of these days you're going to say that, and you won't live another instant.
That's true. I see it.
It is appointed unto men once to die. It sounds like to me God knows exactly when that is, but I guarantee you we don't know when it is.
Amen.
You won't also know, you can't know if you will have another elusive day. That is, you don't know whether you will still have your right mind.
Amen. That's it.
You can't know if you will ever again be disposed to accept Jesus. If you've been indisposed to accept Him before, and now you're indisposed to accept Him tonight, you've already begun to harden yourself in the wrong direction. And may even have lost your sense of direction.
Right.
And you don't know when Jesus is returning for His people.
That's it.
He could show up before I finish this sentence.
Yes, sir.
We don't know that. So you've had one divine appointment that you kept. You've had another that you could keep right now if you haven't kept. Many of you kept that appointment.
Yes.
And you ought to be shouting.
Amen.
So you've got two of them down. And we've got another one to look at. You have a divine appointment to meet God Himself face to face. Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die. Psalm 89:48, what man is he that liveth and shall not see death? But brother, I quote all of Hebrews 9:27? I didn't do it. It is appointed unto men once to die and the... Thank you all. Appreciate these front row Baptists that I can hear. I'm sure everybody was saying that, same words they were, but, huh? You might speak up. That's what my brother-in-law said when they gave him when he was being drafted, and he put it off all these years. It took about, how many years, 12, 14? No, I don't know how long it took him to get through college, because he knew when he got out, he's going off to Vietnam. And so they put him in that box, you know, and started giving him these sounds in there, and he came out of the box, and the man said, well, Mr. Barnett, have you ever had any problem with your hearing? And he said, huh? 25 years old and already knew the word, huh? You got all that out of Cross State. Very, very good topic. Excellent wording. After that, the judgment. It's appointed the men once to die, and after that, the judgment. God has an appointed time to judge the saved and the lost. The great white throne judgment is for the lost. Revelation 20,
right.
11 through 15. If you reach the great white throne judgment, you will never get over it. There is a divine counter that you need to avoid, and it's the great white throne judgment.
Yes.
This pastor has spent the last nearly 9 years trying to tell people by the grace of God from Crenshaw and Butler County and some other places out of making this appointment. See, this is a default, if that's the right word, appointment. It's not where God wants to judge you. He's a God of grace. He doesn't want to meet you there for the judgment.
Right.
Lots of the people that I've tried to work with God and talking them out of going to that judgment are still headed straight for the great white throne judgment, and
right.
It makes me very sad.
Yes.
I've left those two churches. I'm gone. And they're probably glad. And they may not ever ask me back. And if they do, they probably won't have me over there trying to go around and see those people much. There are many reasons it makes me sad, but two of them I'll give you for not wanting these people to show up at the GWP, as I call it. The awesome problem of meeting God in judgment for all, not virtually all, everyone, absolutely everyone of their sins unforgiven. The Christian sins have been erased by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
The sins of the lost are still on the books of heaven. No excuses can be made. God cannot be fooled. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. The awesome problem of facing God with a load of all of your sins, confronting you, sins you've forgotten. Sins you may not have recognized at all. Maybe justified them in your own mind. Stack the deck for yourself so you can move on. There's also the awesome problem of meeting Satan and his demons and followers in hell.
So true.
You have a chance right now for an appointment with God to avoid meeting him at the great white throne and meeting Satan, who's been deceiving you all these years and all of his demons in the flames of torment.
Yes.
So the great white throne judgment, it's for those who reject Jesus. But the Christians will meet God, absolutely will meet him at the judgment seat of Christ. No. Yes, the judgment seat of Christ. There's no say, goodness, I didn't say the same thing again there. I'm getting used to that. Romans 14 and 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:12 and following gives an intensive discussion of the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to get into all of that, but I just want to tell you that the judgment seat of Christ determines the believer's rewards based on his works or her works for the good path. Our works will be thrown into the fire. A lot of the things we thought we did right well may have been poorly motivated. They're going to be burned up like Chris. They were wood, hay, stubble.
Yes.
But the gold, silver, and precious stone will come out.
Right.
And that will be our reward.
Yes.
Our sins have been washed away. So we're not judged there for our sins. We're judged for our works.
Yes.
Heaven without any reward would still be wonderful beyond our present understanding. So no rewards might not seem like much except for a few things which quickly come to my mind. And for our rewards to be less than they could be would not be good.
Right.
In spite of how good heaven's going to be for everybody who gets there.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I don't want to make you mad over nothing, but I never have been comfortable singing, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory land. So sweet and so good of sound, you know. It sounds good. But it sounds like to me, we want to be as far away from the Father in the corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And he wasn't talking about a cabin like place, God. Thank God's got any old rusted cabins up there. Streets of pearl. Gates, your streets of pearl. Oh, it's getting late, isn't it? Got a new religion here. The streets are of pearl and the gates are of gold. You heard that first, you count me. But you know better. It'd be good either way. But I like the gates being of pearl. But that's another story. We won't get into that. I like that.
Yes.
I mean, I like it. But I don't think there's a cabin in the corner that's really going to be appropriate in God's place.
Right, brother.
Furthermore, it sounds like they're saying, I just want to get in there by the skin of my teeth. You can't get in there by the skin of your teeth. You've got to get in there by the love of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's just way yonder too valuable for the skin of your teeth to be compared with.
Amen.
And it also, believe it or not, is pretty selfish. But you say, oh, no, I'm humble. That's why I just want to. I'm so humble, I want to get. Quit kidding yourself. You just don't want to do nothing for the Lord. Sit on your hands. I got saved. I don't particularly want to go to church. Actually, we're to have a long service. The other churches don't do that kind of stuff. Well, some of them have a night service. When you come in this man, he's going to preach 45 minutes to an hour and sing that long, let you go home. Rest after you get through. They're hurrying up to get back. I never thought I'd say that in a Baptist church.
It'll work.
Give you at least something for your time spent getting dressed this morning. And bring in an evangelist.
Yes.
If you can find one that can preach longer than I can, don't get him. That would be too long. I wish I knew where I was when I got off on that. What I was trying to tell you was, if you don't want any rewards in heaven, that's not a good thing for you to be saying about yourself.
Yes, right,
the Lord Almighty will be shortchanged if you don't have any rewards in heaven.
Yes.
The Bible says, and you sing about it in one of our hymns at least, casting down our golden crown around the glassy sea. Oh, what preaching that would make.
Yeah.
When you get up there, I don't know whether they're spiritual or whether they're literal jewels and all of that, but you will take it off when you get in front of God.
Yeah.
You know who gave you the power to do everything you did, it would worth anything.
Yeah,
and you will place it right there in worship before Him.
Yeah.
And there it will be forever and forever. As a statement of the worship of God and all of the good things that were saved when your works were thrown into the fire.
Yes.
I don't want God to be shortchanged by me.
Right.
I know he's going to be shortchanged somewhat, but I hope there's something left in the works of putting the fire. And not only will God be shortchanged, but we shortchange ourselves. Our lives miss the point in some measure. Nothing stops the clock of life. We have one brief run on earth before we depart. What a waste created in Christ, shaped in the womb by God, died for by Jesus, and we shortchange him and ourselves. Nothing to count for our living. Souls, I'm agreed. We could have helped or also shortchanged. We serve God by meeting needs in people around us. Human lives are diminished physically, mentally, and spiritually when needs God assigned us to meet are not met. This can include somebody you really care about.
Yes.
Before Janelle got sick 3 years ago, I didn't see much around the house that needed to be done. God sees so many needs he wants us to meet.
Right.
He sees them everywhere. He's looking at everything now.
Right.
While he's here with us, he's looking at all those needs. Some people are in bad shape.
Yes,
sir. You've been in pretty bad shape sometime yourself, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
When somebody had to bail you out.
Right.
Well, God had somebody in mind to do that.
Right.
And some of the people you might have had in mind turned away from it. There was a priest and a Levite that turned away from a man that's about dead.
Yeah.
Whose clothes were gone, his money was gone, his health was gone.
Right.
He couldn't get up and walk anywhere.
Right.
Had to take a Samaritan to heaven who didn't like Jews if he were an ordinary Samaritan because Jews didn't like Samaritans.
Right.
God had to take a Samaritan, commonly an enemy of the Jews, put it in his heart to rescue this man in the ditch.
Amen.
And who missed the blessings? I wonder how those priests and Levites speedily walked by somebody like that now. God's got needs for you to meet.
You to meet.
You and I to meet. Both of us to meet.
Brother.
In this world.
Amen.
And what did Jesus say about it? He said, if you've done it to the least of one of these, you've done it unto
me.
Yeah. Me spelled with a capital M.
Uh-huh.
Jesus, the Son of God.
Right.
Take that, please. Run with that all over the place when you're doing something for somebody, the least somebody out there you know about. Jesus says, I take that as if you did it for me. What can I do for Jesus? He's not in the ditch now. He's at the right hand of the Father.
Right.
But Jesus has people out here that he dearly loves.
Yes.
So let us give ourselves to him in our hands and our hearts. You don't have to be preaching to be serving Jesus.
Right.
You can be doing stuff for Jesus every day when you help other people that he assigns you to help. Must I go empty handed? Must I meet my Savior? So. Lost for all of us when we don't have rewards in heaven. Well, you got divine appointments that God has given you. But there's a fourth thing I want to say hastily, believe it or not. There is the divine appointments available to us with God as his children here and now all the time. And even for lost people. They want to get with him. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Mm-hmm. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We wait for the time, as the songwriter said, when I shall see him face to face. But we can now, every day, all day, seek his face. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The appointments are not just in times of prayer. They're appointments to witness to his love to others. Lo, I'm with you always, Jesus said, when you make disciples. Oh, he could call you to preach, but don't worry about that too much. He's probably not going to do that. I mean, the percentages are kind of low. Might be something I get into Bobby Bowden, who's written a book called The Coach. He'd call you to do something. He's got something for you to do with your life that is a divine appointment for your life.
It's
a day-to-day thing.
Right.
For you, it could be a divine appointment to have a child that's not going to make it unless someone picks him or her up.
Amen.
He's already been messed over with his life. And if you don't get him in Sunday school or somewhere, and somebody doesn't start loving him sacrificially without any expectation out of that person from you, unselfish love, that child's not going to make it. Maybe a handicapped person, an elderly person, a person with a serious marriage issue. Never forget this. Jesus said, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. If you're not saved, listen to this great good news. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and he will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly forgive, pardon.
Yes.
Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way.
Yes.
God will hear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call. Whosoever. Did anybody, any intellectual person, not realize that the little two-letter middle of whosoever was an important entrance into that word? Maybe in a generation or two, the word whosoever will be in the dictionary, and if you find the word soever, you could be surprised. It might just say archaic. Well, you know what soever means when you stick it on the end of a word? Whosoever. It means to take it to the greatest extreme. The farthest limit.
Amen.
Who? Whosoever.
Right.
Take it to the farthest extreme. The greatest limit you can take it.
Right, right.
That covers everybody.
Yes, sir.
They dance around in this church in their hearts. They don't dance here. Is it a real Baptist church? But I'll tell you what, in their hearts, when they got to singing the other night, whosoever surely meaneth me, they were not dancing with their legs, but they were dancing
Amen.
All over in their hearts.
Amen.
Whosoever, take it to the extreme limit. As far as you can take it, wherever there's a human being, no matter what he's done, no matter who he is.
Right, yes.
No matter how low
right.
he's lived his life, how many people he's mistreated. It may not sound like good preaching, but it's good preaching.
Yes.
It's not good preaching unless you let them know it's low living.
Amen. Amen.
But it's good preaching to let them know that Jesus is so good and so gracious and so merciful
right.
that whosoever Amen. Will may come.
Amen. Right.
God has an appointment book for you, and behold, the day is the day.
Right.
As a matter of fact, God intended a divine appointment for everybody who's in this building tonight, where two or three of you are gathered together
yes.
in his name. There he is in the midst.
Right.
You can't see him with your eye, but you can touch him with your heart
uh-huh.
if you believe.
Right. Yes.
There's been a lot of people touching him this week. He's been touching them back.
Yes.
It's been a sustained touch.
Yes.
It's like God has been hugging them.
Amen.
They've been so close to him. And just enjoyed it for minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes and minutes.
Right.
You believe?
Yes.
You can reach out and touch it.